Today on Real Radio.
That concept, that thinking has produced a, quote, Christian who can't fight themselves out of a bag spiritually. And Satan comes along and says, here, all dressed up fancy. Here, eat this doctrine. Okay, must be Christian. Oh, do you believe in God? Yes. Oh, look, he believes in God. Christians have lost the thoughts of God. Who are you talking about, God who? I believe in Jesus. Which one? Which Jesus do you believe in? Be careful of manipulation. Search the scriptures and see. Know them.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a mini-series taken from chapter 13, where we learn of Samson. The name of this series is Staying Fit for the Master's Use. Now, we're not speaking of being physically fit, but spiritually and scripturally fit. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Let me tell you something. Do it God's way and something will happen. We resist. You know what? When two people are resisting, you know what? All you do is you get veins popping out of your neck. When you're pushing. But the Bible says God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. If somebody in that equation relaxes, have you ever seen this? If someone relaxes, the person that keeps pushing falls over first. Huh? Push. And she says, I'm gonna submit to the Lord. And she backs off, he's gonna go right through the wall. We are to relax in the Lord with that. Verse 26 of Ephesians 5, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. That's how, by the way, a husband keeps his wife, washing her with the word. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. I love the wisdom of the Bible. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. Don't you love the practicality of that? This morning, who's the first person you looked at when you got up? You went and looked in the mirror. You know? You dressed yourself. You picked your clothes or your dress or your outfit. Do I look good in this? You were thinking about you. Then you made sure you were fed, didn't you? Or showered and fed. You made sure it was okay. And then, you know, everything's fine. And you're even at lunch today, you're looking, what should I have? What are you thinking about you for? Because the Bible says we are naturally thinking about ourselves. We naturally do that. So the Bible says here, listen, if you love yourself, the Bible tells us that we do love ourselves. Somebody says, I don't love me. I hate me. Why do you hate yourself? I'm just so ugly. Well, I don't understand your logic. You said you hate yourself because you're so ugly. If you're so ugly, you should be happy because you hate yourself. If you hate yourself, you should be happy about how ugly you are. What do you mean? I don't get that. No, the truth is we love ourselves. And the Bible says, hey, if you love yourself, it implies that we do. Treat your wife nice if you love yourself. Why? Because it'll be good for you. Is that simple enough?
Yes.
Go ahead and argue with your wife for the rest of your life as you have been doing and see how miserable you are at the end of your life. And you'll have no life to show for your life spent. But if you give up yourself, stop thinking about yourself, if Delilah would have caved in and said, you 30 guys, get out of here, I'm married to him now. Get out of here. Go ahead and try to burn my father's house and tear it apart. Samson will come and get you. No. She thought about herself. She sacrificed her husband in the argument. And in the end, she loses big. This is very serious stuff. Happens every day. You say, well, Jack, it seems like you're a little slanted towards the wife here, on the female side. I have a reason for that. And it's this, that the Bible puts the woman in her place of the one that's washed and redeemed and made whole. The Bible puts the man in his place as the head to be the one who provides and to sacrifices. In fact, the Bible even goes so far to say if someone does not provide for his own home, he's worse than an unbeliever. Wow. But listen to this. A wife is a reflector of the man. The wife is the reflector. If you see an insecure wife, I'll show you an unfaithful husband. If you see a bitter woman, I'll show you a rude man. If you see a woman who is secure, then you'll see a faithful husband with her. If you see a woman who's growing and developing, then I'll show you a complimentary husband. It is a fact that a wife reflects her husband, just like the moon reflects the sun. If he is a sweetheart to her, you know what? When men come, and I hear it almost, I can't tell you how often I hear this. Pastor Jack, I need to talk to you. What is it? I don't come here. My wife starts crying. What happened? Did she leave you? Yeah, I can't believe it. Why not? That's what I say to them. Why not? Yeah, but I mean, I cheated on her. It was a year ago, though, and I haven't since, and I didn't come to church. She came, and she just had enough, and she left. So, okay, she left. I mean, I am merciless. Because you know what? They don't want Jesus. They just want her back. And I'll tell them, listen, what do you want her back for? I mean, what do you want her back for, really? You'd be shocked when guys go, the kids, they miss her. Or it just doesn't seem the same because she's not cooking. You can get 3 burgers for $3. Why? See, now look. Now, I'll tell you, I'll be honest. Yes, God is trying to get a hold of this man's life, but the worst thing we can do is put, I'm so sorry, you bad old wife left you like that. No, listen, he needs Jesus more than he needs his wife. That's how the whole thing got messed up in the first place. He was doing his thing. She got tired of pulling the load. I'm not justifying leaving by no means. The Bible says no way should that happen. But listen, people give up. People cave in, and then the husband wants it all right. Listen, I tell these guys, come to Christ and learn how to treat your wife the way Jesus would have her be treated, and she'll love you all over again. But listen, what if she doesn't come back? Then let her be leaving the best man for her in the world. Because if you follow Christ, that's what's going to happen. Put your eyes on Jesus, love her, and then you know what? You want her to change? That's the only way she's going to change, is if she sees a new man in you. Or else it's a mess. It's not manipulation. That's salvation. And a new life transcends any act of showmanship or trickery. Happens all the time. Next, manipulation is an attempt to control. Verse 19, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men, took their apparel, and gave the changes of clothing to those who explained the riddle. So Samson came through with the promise, violently. So his anger was aroused, and he went back up to his father's house. Words are the usual choice of weaponry that comes out of us when we're seeking to control. Manipulation is an attempt to control. Back in verse 16, she sets the stage by You hate me. You don't love me. You pose the riddle to them. You don't even tell me about it. Listen. Control. If someone is seeking to control us, control you, it's manipulation and it stems from insecurity and fear, all of that stuff. But Proverbs 6, 20 to 28 says, my son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Dads need to be saying this to young sons now. Tie them around your neck. Take the Bible and tie it around your neck, kid. That's a nice way, that's an Old Testament way of saying memorize scriptures, Junior. I tell you what, I'm going to give you these three verses. You memorize these in the next 7 days this week, give you three verses. You memorize them, and I don't know what the thing is. Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. My kids are old and all that stuff, but what do you get? Give them some money, buy them something, feed them something, take them to a baseball game, memorize these, reward them. Tie the verses around their neck, put it in their heads, memorize the verses, and you get this prize. And you get that down, we'll do it again. Get the Bible in them. Verse 23 of Proverbs 6, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of the seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. Wow. An adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire into his bosom or his clothes and not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? Control is the issue. Control. Anyone seeking to control is manipulating. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee also youthful lust, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. I love that. Flee youthful lust. Why? Because those bringing that temptation seek to bring control over us. The Bible doesn't want sin to control us anymore. The Lord had decreed, by the way, that Samson would be the final judge of Israel until the time of the kings would come. He was the ninth judge. God had appointed him to a task, and the Lord is getting the job done in spite of Samson's help, that's for sure, because the Philistines are getting judged. But it's a sad thing. Listen, keep going. Verse 20, manipulation is an attempt to dominate. Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his best man. That's the fruit of what's going on here. Very sad and very tragic. That when a situation that did not have to happen begins to dominate in a man's life. Manipulation is an attempt to dominate another person's life. Manipulation has this goal. It's to take over, to dominate, to eventually lead to tyranny. And you and I are either being dominated by human manipulation or we're being led by God. And there's a big difference. A big difference. You say, well, what do we do about this? I want to give you this verse, and I'd love for you to just pray about this verse, and you look at this verse and eat this verse up. It's 1 Corinthians 12:10. When there, the Bible lists the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the ministry and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of them that we should be praying for is the discerning of spirits, lowercase s. The church, the Christian, is to be one who is discerning about what's being told to them. Church, I've got to tell you something. I have had this listed, 1 Corinthians 12:10, happen in my life from time to time. And as a pastor, it's awesome because somebody can be talking to me and they're saying something and they're just going. And right in the middle of the conversation, there is a voice. It's not different than mine. It's not somebody else's sounding voice, but it invades the moment and instant insight is given about what's behind the motive of what they're talking about. It's like a light comes on. That's the gift of discernment. It's like, what? I mean, I don't do that in front of them. But it's that bold. It's that clear. And it's, you know, the Lord might just impress. Don't listen to what they're saying. Or he'll say something. And it's like, oh my, wow. Christian, you and I need this. We need to ask him for it, and he will give it. Why? You and I are living in dangerous days, man. People are redefining Jesus all over the place. Go to the college campuses and find out what's being taught about Jesus. So it used to be that he was just a prophet. Now they're saying that he was not even a prophet. That people have made up his life. You say, how are you going to discern between that and of that? By the discerning of the spirits. God will give you that. Know the Bible. Why? Because you and I will be dominated by a culture that's going godless and manipulated by their agenda. It's a dangerous time you and I live in. A God-given ability to look into the motives of others. And that's a great thing. We need that today. Finally here, manipulation, it's an attempt to destroy. Ultimately, the goal of manipulation is to destroy. You say, Jack, I have a tendency to manipulate my husband. I see in this Bible study, maybe I'm a little bit guilty of that, but I would never say destroy. Oh, yeah. I don't mean necessarily kill them, but disable them. And I don't mean by taking their knee out. I mean disable them so that you have belittled them. Maybe you've just mocked your wife so that she can't even open her mouth anymore. She can't even talk because you'll either rebuke her publicly or she knows that when you get home or get in the car, you're going to let her have it. That's tyranny. It's pathetic. It's to destroy. It might even be easier to be destroyed in some horrible accident or run through with a sword or whatever than to live a life of being destroyed. What was that one judge in the one of the big famous trials? It was absolutely amazing. When that country judge, it was a broadcast all around the world, here in America. It was the 2000 election, and that Florida judge, that guy spoke, when he was speaking to Al Gore's attorney, that just kept going on, Boyles was his name. He kept talking and talking, and that judge, on the end of his nose, he had his glasses sitting there, and he said, you know, listen to you is like getting nibbled to death by a duck. Can you see that in your mind, getting nibbled to death by a duck? How long would that take? About 80 years to get nibbled to death by a duck? And living with somebody who just eats on you, chews on you, belittles you, tears you down, criticizes, mocks every step you make, everything you do. It's just cut, slash, cut, belittle. It'd probably be better to be nibbled to death by a duck. To destroy. We'll end here. Satan, that's exactly his plan, wasn't it? In the garden? Didn't he do that? Didn't he manipulate to destroy? When he said, as the Bible says, that the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, Genesis 3:1-5. And he said to the woman, listen to this manipulation. Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Casting doubt into her mind. He's challenging God's authority. Okay? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the fruit that which in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, for the day that you touch it or touch it, you shall die. Then the serpent said to the woman, verse 4, you shall not surely die. Now he's assuming authority over God. For God knows. Satan has no clue what God knows, but you don't get that out of him here, do you? God knows that the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You'll be like a God, knowing good and evil. That doctrine's going around today. Why don't you come and join our cult? You'll be like a God. Huh? Isn't that ancient doctrine? It was found in the garden. Oh, come on, do this, and you'll be like a God. Wow. Manipulation. Yeah, in our day, Satan is out and running around loose with his prophets. We're living in the days that we need to be discerning and be very careful. And much of tonight has been geared toward manipulation in the area of relationship. But the most dangerous manipulation of all is spiritual trickery. And the Bible warned over and over again that in the last days, false doctrines would be everywhere. Where does that come from? Jesus said from false prophets and false teachers. The church is so ill and so ill-equipped in the Bible. I don't know how many Christians you know, but do they know the Bible well? Can they defend what they believe? See, what's going on today is, and Satan's brilliant, make no mistake about it, for about the last 30 years around the world, the Bible teaching has been somewhat vacant. And in, I don't know, the last 10, 15 years, church has gone entertainment and play fun and don't bother the people with sermons. They can't handle it. Only 10-minute sound bites. That's all they can handle. I can't tell you how many times I've been told that. Pastor, you went for an hour. We can only handle 15 minutes. We've been conditioned to only handle 15 minutes by our culture. We need to be disciplined and urgent about the things that are good and that is right in the Word of God. The reason why we can sit in a movie for 3 hours is because it's titillating all of our senses with the boom and the sound and the lights and the footage and the film. And oh, here we go, Bible study. But you know what? That concept, that thinking has produced a, quote, Christian who can't fight themselves out of a bag spiritually. And Satan comes along and says, here, all dressed up fancy. Here, eat this doctrine. Okay, must be Christian. Oh, do you believe in God? Yes. Oh, look, he believes in God. Christians have lost the thoughts of God. Who are you talking about, God who? I believe in Jesus. Which one? Which Jesus do you believe in? Be careful of manipulation. Search the scriptures and see. Know them.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Staying Fit for the Master's Use. It's actually a 10-part mini-series taken from the 13th chapter of the Old Testament book of Judges, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, Pastor Jack is here in studio to tell us a little bit more about this series. Pastor Jack?
Thanks, Mike. This little mini-series is quite amazing, and here's the reason why. You know, the Bible says that these things have been written for our learning, that we through patience might inherit the hope and the promises of God. Well, at the expense of Samson's life, we learn a lot. You know, Samson's life was extremely anointed, extremely colorful. This guy was an amazing judge of the nation of Israel. And you know some of the great exploits that Samson was able to achieve. But you know what seemed to be a great, great hindrance to his life is who Samson was after dark, who Samson was when nobody was looking. And during that time, he got into a lot of trouble. There's a lot of struggles that you and I can learn from that Samson went through with his flesh and with his God. Well, listen, I want to encourage you to get this series of teachings taken from the book of Judges and regarding the life of Samson. We can learn a lot. These are the last days, the Bible tells us, and these are dangerous times. And if you and I can stay fit for the Master's use, may God use us constantly as we see the end approaching. I know if you're anything like me, you want to finish your walk with God strong. So I think you'll do well by getting your hands on this series out of the book of Judges, Staying Fit for the Master's Use, as we look to the life of Samson and learn a great deal.
Okay, thanks, Pastor Jack. Well, here's our offer. For your gift to the continuing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you Pastor Jack's Staying Fit for the Master's Use. Again, it's a 10-DVD series, Staying Fit for the Master's Use. You can learn more by going to realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. As well, you can always send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.